Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Bazant Resources. Welcome back, Colin.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've just seen the news that the Bazant has announced the granting of mining license 246 for its Hope and Gorab copper gold project in Namibia. The company is preparing to formally accept the license under the terms set by the Ministry of Mines and Energy. You express gratitude to the ministry for their efforts and look forward to progressing the development and commissioning of the mine. Excellent news. So the mining license has finally arrived, so congratulations. But just talk us through what this license will allow you to do as the next steps at Hope and Gorab, please, Colin.
Well, I mean, that's the horse out of the starting stalls, isn't it? We're on, and I think as I've constantly stressed on these debates with your good selves and others, and of course in any discussions I've had, is that the mining license, of course, is a prerequisite. You can't do anything without it. But we spent the last 18 months doing everything as though the mining license is in place. So it's not as though, oh, now the team can start looking for contractors, looking for processing, looking for methods of going from open cast to underground, further ore definition, transport contractors, concentrate quite frankly, every aspect of this operation has been ongoing for the last 18 months. And so in actual fact, we're not at ground zero. We're in actual fact, the horses have now been let out, the starting gates have opened. And so what were contracts of intent, what were contracts with indicative terms, are in actual fact contracts ready for signing now. What the granting of the license means, that we're all extremely happy. What the granting of the license means, we've got a tenure for 25 years, and we're enabled. We're enabled. And as I say in my, in our RNS, in my comments, that I thank you, government, for the support. They don't grant licenses without a lot of consideration, without a lot of due diligence, and had a lot of certainty. And I'm pleased to say we've given the satisfaction they were looking for, and consequently have been granted this license.
So, Colin, just for anybody who is new to this whole Bazant and Hope and Gorab license, what is the resource that is the theft on this license?
Yeah, well, as you know, Kevin, that we've said in the past that this is a 17-kilometre project, notwithstanding the fact that we've recently been granted a licence and another licence, which are contiguous or almost contiguous in one case with our licence. And so the 17 kilometres can be extended. In the 70s, two South African major mining companies worked there with a view to finding, in their terms, a new copper belt, being a Zambian copper belt. It's always been referred to as the copper belt. And they had the underlying assumption that oxides couldn't be treated, which was correct or difficult to treat, and the oxides were likely to exist down to 150 meters. So the instructions came from the head office and the powers that be that when you have your drilling program, you don't drill much above 150 meters, which they didn't. So the premise that it was all oxides between 150 and surface was wrong. Sulfides report to surface and all the way to surface, so we need one common plant. But the significance of that is there are many places where you've got ore at 150 and there's been no exploration between 150 and surface. So that's the golden opportunity for us to, in actual fact, do open pits for, I won't say 17 kilometres, that would be too ambitious to say that because we don't know how much of the 17 kilometres is live. But certainly we've got the open pit potential over quite big distances, and that we will investigate, and that we've already investigated in order to submit the mining application in the first place. And that amounts to some 15 million tonnes. And the copper is about 1.2. The gold is between 0.2, 0.4. So on the basis of that, you're looking at a combined copper equivalent of with the 0.2 to 0.4 grams of gold together with the copper, you're looking at probably around about 1.5 copper equivalent. So that really is where the project is designed on, the initial 15 million tons. The 17-kilometer strike is futuristic and has to be drilled. We don't know what that's going to result in the final assessment. But 17 kilometers is a really big potential strike. And as I say, we've got additions which are contiguous to going towards the north. The Masters Copper Belt goes all the way from where we are near Walvis Bay all the way up to Windhoek. So it's a massive copper gold mineralized body. So there's a lot of potential there, Kevin, Phil.
Very good. So 15 million tonnes of ore at 1.5% is 225,000 tonnes of contained copper. That's not a small project, is it?
Yeah, the mineral resource estimate for the Addison did suggests approximately 190,000 tonnes.
Okay, so 190,000 tonnes of contained copper is pretty damn significant, isn't it? I think people need to understand this is not really a very small project.
No, and then there are places, of course, where the gold wasn't taken into consideration. So that comes as a bonus. And then one should also remember, gents, that copper and gold in the same mix going to a concentrator was bad news a few years ago. It's great news now. The payability of copper is well established. You give a gram away and you pay 0.94% of the existing gold. So you actually get paid and paid quite well for your gold.
So, I mean, you've obviously got some big plans. There's other things, obviously, that could be discussed, and we'll discuss them at a later date there in Namibia. Obviously, we visited this place in February. We were down there with Martin Church House, so we saw the ground, we saw the facilities that are there, because there's quite a science facility there, isn't there, on this land?
Yes, indeed. It's not very far away. In fact, they were very kind. They were kind enough to let us use some of their quarters and some office space to conduct our work. They're very good people and they're very cooperative and very supportive.
Gobbleb Research Facility, isn't it?
Yeah, well known. And the deserts are protected. And so to that end, we've stated that we'll be dry screening and keeping the desert dry. And of course, water's not readily available in the desert, and we'll be pre-sorting and treating elsewhere. So look after the desert, and you know we undertake to government, and have undertaken to government, to be very responsible environmental and corporate citizens. So that's all taken into consideration. The research and that research station is doing some very meaningful work for the desert and maintaining the ecology and maintaining the environmental status of the desert. And we're very, very conscious of all that and working with it.
They let us use their Wi-Fi, so we were very happy.
That's nice of them, yeah. No, we find them generally very, very helpful people.
Yeah, and what sort of employment? I mean, there's not huge numbers of industrial employment around this area. I haven't stayed there, so what do you hope that will mean?
If we look at the general Swakopmund and Walvis Bay area, we'll be creating at least 200 jobs when we're in full production.
Very good. So that's all going to help. Obviously.
That all helps in a country of relatively high unemployment, and obviously we're happy to do it. And their stakeholders are, you know, once they're employed by us and working with us. So we look forward to creating the circumstances where their life changes. I mean, a mine is a life change, you know, they in a district, because for every job you create on the mine, the numbers say that you create 7 peripheral jobs. 7 for 1 is quite a ratio. I'm not saying it necessarily applies down there, because Walvis Bay and Swakopmund are pretty sophisticated tourist place, etc. And there's other industries. There's no doubt about it. Contracting industries will arise. Can, you know, transport, machinery repair, provision of machinery, technical services in terms of media and internet, and then small schools, of course, will develop, because you know you've got these new employees, people migrate and live there. So in actual fact, there's not much negative in the old setup. But what we intend to do down there is it's all positive. It's good for jobs, it's good for the economy, good for Namibia, and of course it's good for our shareholders and the copper industry in general, which we've agreed on a number of occasions over the last few months. Is in desperate need of more supply.
Yeah, and when we were there, we saw a rail line as well, and I presume that rail line goes to the sea, if you like, to the docks, so that you can then transport the stuff out.
That's a massive plus, and it's a pristine railroad too. It's It's in a very, very good state of repair. It's in, make, well, I was going to say, yeah, that's the word we use in the industry. It's in a very good state. It's in a very good condition.
Yeah, and that goes all the way to Windhoek as well.
It
From
goes
Skye.
all the way up there, yes, to Windhoek and all the way down to the ocean.
Very good. Well, I'm sure we're going to hear much, much more about this whole story and things that to be put in place, and we look forward to hearing them.
Yes, and it'll be obviously we intend to keep the market fully abreast. You make an announcement like this, and I guess there's as many questions as the license brings its own questions, and it's probably inappropriate at this during this debate to go in to try and answer all those questions. But I can reassure you, Kevin, that the thought process didn't start with the issue of the license. It's been going on 18 months, and as such, we're up and ready. And as I say, that the granting of the license lets us out the starting gates.
On that note, we'll say Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Bezant Resources, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for inviting me. I do appreciate it.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.